Talking of tides and that kind of thing, here's one for you, Kate, and it's from Liz.
Hi, Naked Scientists. How deep do you have to go under the sea to be in complete darkness?
How deep do you have to go?
So, I actually wrote down the numbers because I am bad with numbers if we didn't get that from the quiz. But 1,000 meters is the official cutoff point where it's called the aphotic zone. So anything deeper than 1,000 meters, no sunlight will be coming from the surface. However, you will not be in total darkness because animals make their own light. So there's loads of bioluminescent organisms found at these kind of depths. And so while the background that you're looking at these animals at will be totally dark, as far as like there's no sunlight, you will see the bioluminescence.
Matt?
So I think, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, is that connected to the idea of an optical depth down into the water? Because it's the same principle as when you're driving along through fog, you only ever see to what we call one optical depth, which is the point at which half of your photons get scattered. So that's, you're always seeing to one optical depth when you're driving through fog. And I'm guessing maybe it's a similar thing when you have the water.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what one of the reasons that studying animals' vision underwater is really great, because you have this highly predicted spectrum of light from the surface to depth, based on just the physics of how light interacts with water molecules and the stuff that's dissolved in water.
So animals that fish, marine species that live close to the surface, they're seeing the full spectrum of light because it hasn't been soaked up yet. But the deeper you go, the less and less red light there is in the water. And once you get really, really deep, there's almost no light. So does that mean then that the animals that make light are making any colours of light, or do they tend to make light of certain colours and they can see it, but the other animals can't?
I'd say most of the bioluminescence that you have down in the open ocean at depth is going to be kind of on the blue-green end of the spectrum. But there are a few, particularly the dragonfish.
Stomid fish.
Yeah, they actually have bioluminescent patches underneath their eyes that are red. And because there's no red light that is at that kind of depth, no one can see it, basically, except these guys can.
So it's like being spotlighted.
Yeah, they've got these like stealth scopes, and they're just
They can use it to talk to each other, and they can use it to see the things that they want to eat, but the thing
Correct.
That they're after can't see it's being spotlit by.
Yep.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, and there's two ways that you can make bioluminescence. The animal can actually either synthesize the enzymes and all the molecules themselves, or they can have an organ that cultures a bacteria that does it for them. And animals that live closer to the shore, where the light environment, I guess at shallower depths, where you have more of those organics I mentioned earlier, the gelb stuff, they will actually have red-shifted bioluminescence.
Isn't the marine realm an amazing place? Now, there's a really interesting story this week, Kate, for people who are keen on kayaking. You tell the story, because it was fascinating to read this.
Yeah, well, there's this amazing movement that's happening right now where there's all of this open source technology that's available to just normal people who are just really keen. It's not all isolated to people with a lot of money or who are working in labs and they're experts. So what this research group did is they developed a data tracking system that you can mount onto a kayak, specifically is what they were targeted on, but you can also put it on a canoe or a paddleboard or really any kind of pleasure watercraft that is paddle powered. And it turns information from the environment into an auditory signal or sound. So you can basically play music based on changes in temperature. So it'll play a higher note from a digital thermometer. So it converts that information from the thermometer into a digital tone that changes in its frequency depending on if it is warmer or colder. So higher temperatures, higher note, lower temperatures, lower note. So you can be paddling along and go if you're going through different temperatures.
People go on these sorts of pursuits to get away from it all. It sounds like the reverse.
Yeah, well, it's it has a very artistic element to it. So if you're interested in kind of creating auditory soundscapes and just enjoying something like that, it has that kind of element to it. But what is more important is that it's actual data that this open source thing you can build is collecting. And so what they talk about that's most important is that there aren't a lot of very large data sets for changes in temperature or changes in the soundscapes of harder to reach waterways like estuaries, for instance, where a lot of people would be using these boats. And so because as you're going, the little computer called a Raspberry Pi that's the kind of heart of this is uploading your data as well as your GPS coordinates. So it can generate these maps that go to public databases, then scientists can access and do science with related to climate change and how things are changing in aquatic systems. And it's really cool, and I really want to build one with my dad.
Well, next time you're on the program, Kate, you can tell us how you got on.
Okay.
But to maybe wait for the weather to be nice, which might take a while in this country, I think.
Yeah.